We better pray, I guess. Thank you, our Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you this morning for your word and your watch care over us. Dear God, that you love us and that you know us, that you understand us. Even as Psalm 139 that we've heard a portion of already this morning would tell us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Dear God, I just pray as we look into your word this morning that you would truly speak to our hearts. That this wouldn't just be a time, dear God, that we would fill a portion of a service that's supposed to take an hour and that sort of thing. But, dear God, that you truly would speak to us. That we would repent and that we would listen. And your word would penetrate the flesh. Amen. Interesting. Because I have to appease my friend Arthur, our message is, this message has to have a title. It's a short one. It's called Repent. I've been studying through the scriptures, and we've been studying through Mark for some time, and we're now in verse 7, chapter 6. Let's just read the word as this morning as we begin our little message here that takes us to the Lord Jesus Christ commissioning the 12. And if you write in your Bibles or you mark in your Bibles, you need to get your pens out this morning because there's a couple of words that I think you would do well to underscore or circle, whatever. Beginning to read in verse 7, Mark chapter 6, it says, "And he called unto them," and if you mark in your Bible, you need to put a circle around "the," or "the," however you say. "And he called unto him the 12." The reason that word is important in this verse is because what is about to take place, the ministry, the commission, the power, the authority that's given to do these things was given just to those 12 at that time. And that's important for us as we study through the Gospel of Mark because there are those round about us who claim to have the same authority and the same power. Never was given to them. I don't want to launch a crusade this morning against anyone, but it's important for us to know this. "And he called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits." Who did he give the power to? The 12. "And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse." I understand that part. Why? I'm not complaining about my pay. But can you imagine this? Lu Jing even changed my PIN number once and didn't tell me. I put my swipe card through the thing. Jing, jing, jing. Wrong, however said. How in the world can this be? So I pushed it in again. Jing, jing, jing. Wrong PIN number. I looked at my card and then I remembered like 6 months ago we had talked and I had thought about changing my PIN number. Would she have done that? So I pushed the number that we had talked about. It worked. Guess who got a spanking when we got home? No money in their purse, but be shod with sandals. And not put on two coats. And he said unto them, "In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet. For a testimony against them, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city." And they went out, and they preached that men should repent. They cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed. As I studied through this portion of Scripture, and I thought about it, and I looked at it, I thought, you know, it's a little more clear. There's more details in Matthew chapter 10. Let's just turn to Matthew 10. Help us a little bit. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I think it's interesting, and it's important for us to realize, to understand this portion of Scripture, that the 12 were sent at this time just to the household of Israel. This wasn't a great commission or the great commission where somebody would go into the world, but these 12 were sent to the nation of Israel, and the Jews were told to repent. John the Baptist had already been out, and he said, Repent, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I started to look at this portion of Scripture, and I started to think, isn't it interesting that just before the Lord Jesus Christ was to set up his kingdom, that the apostles were sent to the Jews and they were told to repent? I want to tell you that we live in a day and we live in an age that's just before the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to set up his kingdom, and our message had ought to be repent. I started to look at the word repent, and I started to think, what in the world is this all about? How come Christ would tell the Jews at this important hour that they needed to repent? And as I sat at my desk and I studied Scripture, I can show you this morning I have 4 or 5 pages here that I had photocopied. Sometimes I do that because I take work home with me to study, and sometimes in the evenings and different times I'll study the Scriptures and what other men have said. And I find a page is lighter than a book. I carried so many books home and thought to myself, why didn't I just go back to my office? But although I've been married for a long time, I like to glance at my wife once in a while. Until she knows I'm looking at her. And, you know, every once in a while when you're studying, you can look up and say, and that sort of thing. Before this message is over, somebody's probably going to wound me. It might be her, it might be you. But I started to think about this portion of Scripture. And I thought, if I were to look at any individual, whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, is there a word that I could tell you that would bring you to the place where you're... The struggle wouldn't necessarily be over because we have an enemy. There's always going to be a struggle. It would be this one word. What do we need? What do you need? What do you need to do to live for the Lord? You need to repent. And I thought, isn't this interesting? And repentance carries with it the idea that there's something wrong in your life. There's something wrong in my life. And I found recently a couple of times that I've been driven to my knees in repentance, asking the Lord to forgive me. And with repentance comes a change of direction. I found it interesting, and as I read through what J. Vernon McGee had to say about this, there was a number of words that I circled in his little 2-3 paragraphs. One of the words that he used was urgency. The Jews had to repent. It was urgent that the Jews would repent. Why? Because soon down the road from this time, they're going to be saying, Crucify him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was urgent that someone came to them and told them that they needed to repent because of the lateness of the hour. I want to tell you, when you stop and look at God's time clock, I believe that it's late in the day. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The rapture is going to take place, and as the bride of Christ will be gathered together with him. 7 years past the rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back to set foot on this earth to set up his kingdom, and it's important that men repent. I'm pleased, and it's a blessing that our young people could go to places like New York City and to Brazil. Some of them are headed off to Bermuda and other places. But I want to tell you this morning, as I look out the window, as I walk down these streets and I go to the north of us and to the south of us and round about a little place called Riverview in Moncton. There are folks who are lost and dying in their sin. They need to repent, and my responsibility as a believer is to tell them, to share the gospel of Christ. Christ had his men preach the gospel of repentance because of the lateness of the hour and the urgency. Another word I circled, it was important. Matthew made it clear that, that this message at that time was to go to the household of Israel. And it gets interesting as you look and you read through Scripture. We talked about it a little bit this morning in our adult Sunday school class. The idea is just this: to reject God's grace. J. Vernon McGee put it like this: to reject God's grace is to invite his judgment. You want God to judge you? Reject his grace. Don't repent. Keep going the direction that you're going in. And I thought, we live in a day and in an age where you can look on my desk. I have right now that have been loaned to me 4 or 5 books. I just finished one this week. Interesting book. What Darwin Didn't Know. It was great. Helps us understand and to know and to be able to prove that we were created. God made us. God designed us. God will sustain us. Christ loved us, and he died in our place. It wasn't an accident that, we didn't just appear on the scene. We didn't evolve. So that's how you have it. Don't run away. I'll be back. Some of you thought you were going to see a magic trick, right, when I shook the hanky. Well, the idea is just this, and I thought, we could look, and I can look on my desk, and I have books, I have CDs, I have cassette tapes, I have videos, I have all these things and all these programs and everything that I can look at, and we can read, and we can study, and we can learn. If I do this, this, and this, my life will be better. I want to tell you, I'm not against those. But to take those without repentance, carry on as you are. What the world needs today, what the church needs today, what the individual needs today is to simply look at God's Word. And I believe God's Word is true. One of the problems is that we try to do things progressively. A little bit here at a time, a little bit there at a time. And the truth of the matter is this: if you would just repent. The message of the Bible is to turn from your sin. We need to turn from our sin. It's interesting, as a pastor or as a preacher, when you go to a church, if somebody candidates in a church, you will sit down, there will be a pulpit committee. If you look in a church, will have a deacon's board where there will be men. And you know what? The men of this church, the men of the church, they want a preacher who preaches the gospel. They want a preacher who teaches God's word without error, accurately and with passion. I sit down now twice. At a DBBS meeting, we sit at our meetings, and the men are sitting home. The men in this church need to repent. You will sit home and you'll let your wives do the work. You'll let your kids do the work. If the pastor goes astray and doesn't do what you want, you will complain, but you won't do the work. You need to repent. And this message is for the men of Bethel Baptist Church. You need to get on your knees, and you need to repent and turn to God and quit being so lazy. Churches self-destruct. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, as I look into God's word and I look at why did this message say what it said? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ send his men out to the household of Israel? It was because God had created man in his own image. The Bible tells me, and I believe this morning, that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were faced with an enemy that enticed them. The Bible said that they sinned. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And as I look at the life of Christ and about what was going to take place, Can you imagine what it would be like? How many of you have ever been rejected? Laid aside, set aside. Worst of all, how about being set aside for someone else? God was set aside for the wicked one, for the devil, for Apollyon, Abaddon, Beelzebub, that liar, the devil. Two people had told Adam and Eve something. God said, don't eat of the fruit of that tree or you will surely die. The wicked one, the liar, comes along and he says, he's lying. God was rejected for the devil. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own and they weren't going to receive him. And he sent the messengers out asking them to repent. You need to turn from your sin. The Bible tells us that Christ did come and he did suffer and he did bleed and he did die and he was buried. And I believe this morning that he's risen. And our Savior's ascended. Think of it this morning. As a believer, if you're here and you sin, you have an advocate seated at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he was sending a message out to his people, knowing well that they would reject him. I became interested in this idea of repentance. I was wondering how come people aren't preaching repentance anymore. Someone that I was reading the other day, I didn't have it written down, but the idea is just this. Isn't it interesting that the law doesn't speak of repentance because the law has no means of forgiveness? You can keep the law all you want. There's no forgiveness for when you break it. Forgiveness is only in Christ. We need to repent. J. Vernon McGee also said this, that this commission was limited to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not the pattern for today. Repentance is part of the gospel message. However, it is contained in the command to believe. We live in a day and an age of easy believism. I start to get nauseated after a while when I hear, all you got to do is ask Jesus in your heart. You can ask Jesus in your heart all you want. The Bible says you have to believe. What does it mean to believe? Believe what? Do you know that the wicked one believes in God? The wicked one knows who Christ is. When Jesus cast out the devils out of that man just a few chapters back, they knew who he was and they believed. Believe what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We have to believe that he is who he is. You have to also believe that you're a sinner. And it's interesting what happens sometimes. We use a word so flippantly that we forget to teach and to preach what the word means. Repentance is contained in the word believe. When I believe in Christ as my Savior, automatically I have to believe that I'm a sinner. And I have to believe that it's important for me to turn from my sin. How many of you can remember the moment of your salvation? Isn't it interesting? I've looked at that for so long, so many times, and I thought for a few seconds, I lived an absolutely pure life. I was so overcome and overwhelmed with my new life in Christ that I hadn't even sinned yet. And I've tried to figure out, and you can't. I wonder how long it was after I was saved before I sinned again. Why was it so urgent that repentance was taught? What has happened to us that we forget? And I started to look at this idea of repentance. And as I started to develop and put together what I thought would be a message suitable to, you know, teach this passage in Mark chapter 6, I have in my study volumes that's been written about the word repent. And I thought, how often do we hear that we're supposed to repent? Somehow we've been deceived into thinking that we can live godly lives without repentance. It's impossible. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to be harsh. But the truth of the matter is just this. What do we need? What do you need? Whatever the situation or the problem or the difficulty is, to fix it, without repentance is the band-aid solution. It isn't going to work. And I'm not suggesting this morning this blab-and-grab theory, new doctrine that goes along this prosperity gospel. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems. It doesn't mean we won't have difficulties. But the idea is to put myself in right standing with God is impossible without repentance, and we try to do that. It's kind of interesting, I brought this little list that I wrote. The law, I guess I mentioned already, doesn't demand repentance because it cannot offer forgiveness. Christ declared the need of repentance in Matthew chapter 4. Christ exalted to give it in Acts chapter 5. Christ offered repentance in his name in Luke 24. It was commanded by God in Acts 17. It was produced by the goodness of God in Romans 2. It was necessary to forgiveness in Acts 3. Was accompanied with faith in Mark 1, brought joy in heaven in Luke 15, and in Hebrews chapter 12, this is the line that struck me, is it may be sought too late in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17. Don't repent too late. It isn't difficult to live for the Lord. I have another thing that I found interesting here. This idea of repentance. Believers also have need of repentance. Each of us has sins. We have failures. These sins and failures call for specific prayers of repentance. Repentance will bring us a productive life. Acts 11:18. Pardon of our sins. It'll bring us a new heart. It'll bring us complete joy. You want to have a joy in your life that's unspeakable? Peace that passeth understanding starts with this little word that we call repentance. There's no virtue in our repentance if it does not bring us to God. Remorse isn't repentance. And the idea, when you stop and look at biblical repentance, what was the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to see accomplished by the apostles going out into the household of Israel? He wanted them to do something. What was the something that he wanted them to do? It's the same thing that he wants you to do as believers. It's the same thing that he wants you to do this morning if you're here and you're outside of Christ. He wants you to turn from your sin. Do you know the Bible's against sin? For some reason, I like what it says in Galatians. Paul asked the Galatians, does it mean that you're no longer going to love me or you're not going to be my friend if I tell you the truth? I can tell you the truth this morning, what you need in one word. You need to repent. And I need to repent. It's important that we keep short accounts with God. Listen to this. The idea of repentance. Mere sorrow for sin cannot lessen the guilt. There may be vexation, and yet no repentance. Bible repentance is a great necessity, Acts 17:30. Here it is connected, repentance is connected with the turning from all iniquity, with turning to God, with faith in Jesus Christ, with forgiveness of sins, with salvation, with receiving God the Holy Spirit. This is repentance that needs not to be repentant of. Smith and Lee, handfuls on purpose. And I sat down and I looked at the scriptures and I was thinking the other day, and I thought, you know, we can go into great and long, wonderful discourses. I could have brought you this morning and labored at my desk, got out a thesaurus, given you a 5-point alliterated outline for something that could be said in one word. Repent. I don't know your heart, and you don't know mine, but I can tell you this. If there's something between you and your God, if there's something that you're doing that you had not to do, if there's something that you should be doing and you're not, that your life will never be in line until you repent. So I'm going to close with just one word. Repent. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, that you saw fit to equip 12 men to go into the household of Israel with the message of repentance just before Christ would pay the penalty for our sin and be the sacrifice that was pleasing to you. Lord God, I pray as individuals this morning, we would look at our own lives. By the authority of Scripture, Lord, I know myself included, all of us have those things that we need to repent of. Dear God, give us the grace to search the Scriptures, to look into our lives. And Lord, that you'd give us the courage and the grace to turn and go the other direction, live for you as we ought to. I pray, dear God, that in our little fellowship that we would experience revival in our hearts, in our church, in our group. And that we would experience also the joy that follows genuine biblical revival and repentance. Pray that you continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word that would urge us and show us the necessity to repent. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.